Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Beit, Perek Tet. We saw yesterday we came to the conclusion of a section that was very, very clear, so that we mention now the positions, Yoav on the Tzavan, the Mazkir, and the Urim V'Tumim, that's what the criteria plate is, and the Hanhaga of Mishpachat Beit David as Bnei David Kohanim. We're now beginning another section, and this section is an attempt by David, after we've seen now David the Yashar, David the Ne'eman, David the one who is the Ish Milchama, preparation for the Beit HaMikdash, David who has learned about the nature of Simcha Shel Mitzvah and to be Metaken, the elements of Shaul, David who was forced to distinguish, differentiate between himself and the Pegomim of Malchus Beis Shaul in their need to protect themselves and his willingness to make himself vulnerable. We now find David making his last attempt, and this turns out to have very, very profound implications for all of history, making his last attempt to create a bond with Beit Shaul, a bond that was broken in the breakdown of his relationship with Michal Bat Shaul, a bond that was broken by the death of all of the potential children of Shaul and grandchildren that could have been the Melachim, with the death of Ishbosheth and the wounding of Mephibosheth. And in a sense, at this point, we're looking at a sefer that has spoken about the failure of two great families, the failure of Eli and the failure of Shaul, the breakdown that created Churban two times. So it was the Churban of Shiloh that became Nov, and the Churban of Nov by Shaul, which became now the ignoring of the Orim throughout the years of Givon, and his first attempt to create at least a mokum for an Orim and an ultimate Beit HaMikdash to do what he could in his milchamot. He wants to give it one last try, so that the ne'monus of David, the chesed of David, and his commitment to Yonatan as a brit of love between them should have a kiyum in now sealing the bond between Yehuda and Binyamin, so that there would be no further breakdowns in the malchut to come. This is so important that the particular relationship with this child of Yonatan, Mephibosheth, was the last one that was left. In the end, destroys the Malchus, as we will see. In the end, as the Gemara tells us, a bat kol comes out because of the events that begin in this parsha that proclaim the civil war that will destroy the country, which is the century-long civil war between Beit Yosef and Malchus Yehuda. And it starts very pretty, very nice. Vayomer David, achiyesh oda shenotar lebeit Shaul. Is there anything left from the family of Shaul ve'eseim or chesed ba'avur Yonatan? I want to now express my relationship with Yonatan by giving chesed to the house of Shaul, so that not only will it be the type of chesed that people will see as having been politically warranted, but this is a chesed that people will finally recognize the depth of my real care, because this is not a boy with a future for Malchut, obviously. And now there was only one authority in what was left of Beit Shaul. And surprisingly, that authority was an Eved, and his name was Tziva. And he had been the master of the house to Shaul. So, LeBeit Shaul Eved, Ushmo Tziva. Now, according to Chazal, this Tziva was not Jewish. He had a din of an Eved Kanani. And he worked for Beit Shaul, but he was very choshev because he was the chief of operations in Shaul's personal management. Vayikru'ulo el David, and so David has this man brought before him. Vayomer ha'melech elav, ha'ata tziva, you are the tziva that has been active for all these years. Vayomer, your servant, sir. Avdecha. Vayomer, this is like straight out of the movies, you know. Vayomer ha'melech, tell me, ha'efes od ish lebeit Shaul ve'esei mo chesed Elohim. Is there, perhaps, someone left in the family? There must be. Is there not someone that I can really do a great chesed to? A chesed that would register as the chaste David ha'ne'emanim, for which David is known in Asiyas chesed. Vayomer tziva el ha'melech, there is indeed. Od bein le'yonatan necherag layim. There is, in fact, someone who needs a great deal of chesed. Yonatan's son, who was permanently maimed on the day of the death of Shaul. It's interesting that his father and grandfather died, leaving him permanently maimed. in exactly the same way that Ikavod became a symbol of the permanent maiming, the death of his father and grandfather, on the day in which Eli's family essentially came to an end. So that we discuss the future of two children that carry with them the mark of Cain, so to speak, one in the name and one in his feet, if the family's failure. Vayomer lo hamelech eifohu. Where indeed is he? Vayomer tziva el hamelech hinehu beit Machir ben Amiel belo davar. He's in the house of Machir ben Amiel. Now this is from Menashe, which means, in lo davar maybe, the closest placement that archaeologists find that located in the area of the what is now the bridge across the Yarden, Nechamnia, I think there's is the area. And that means that he was in Eber HaYarden, which is shocking, because he was very insecure. In other words, he didn't want to stay around Binyamin as long as David was around. So this represents really the chashash, and the bringing of Tziva before the Melech must have been a rather frightening possibility for Tziva, because this was what was left of Beit Shaul. Now, Chazal say, Belo Davar means that Tziva was telling the Melech that he's not worth very much. So it's a play on words. Don't think too highly of him. He's a nobody. Vayishlach HaMelech David. David sends for him. Vayikacheo mi Beit Machir ben Amiel from Menashe mi lo davar. And we see that to be a play on words of male davar, that it was actually a very great Talmud Chacham. Now this is important because according to the Gemara, the fact that David now saw that Tziva was not to be trusted in how he was treating Mephibosheth turns out to be the reason that David is blamed for what happens later. So that's why this we need to remember for the horrific end of the story that destroys David's Malucha.
Well, he doesn't believe in terms of what he calls
we'll see. No. We'll see. We haven't gotten to the point. It's only after the rebellion of Avshalom that we see the impact of these events. Vayavomi Pibosheth ben Yonatan ben Shaul el David vayipol al panav vayishtach. And so Mephibosheth falls on his face. Vayomer David, Mephibosheth. Vayomer hinei avdecha. Vayomer David, I see you're nervous. Al tira, you're wrong. I didn't call you here to cause you harm. Ki oso easeim chachesed bavur Yonatan avicha. I have a brit with your father, Yonatan, and I'm going to ashivoti lachat kol sedei Shaul avicha. Right now, you're in a position of, and this is fascinating, the Radak suggests a position of being a Morid Mamalchus. Because Shaul and his entire family, because of the fact that they continued to be Avot at the Melachim after the Mashiach of David, where he was supposed to give it over to David and didn't, really loses the right to all of his property. And a Morid Mamalchus, all of his property is given over to the king. So Be'etzem, whatever it is that Yonatan was thinking, it was, oh boy, this is bad news. Therefore, when David says to him, I am going to give you everything that your father owned, it really was a chesed, because that's how the Radak understands it. Others understand it that, look, he was clearly in a position of great dependency on Tziva. He couldn't even get around, he was a cripple, and gradually, as we'll see later on in this parak, Tziva had managed to usurp control of the properties, always under the supposed guise of being the Ne'eman to the Beit Shaul, but Lamaisa, leaving Mephibosheth in position of great, great dependency. So therefore, what David is doing here is restoring Mephibosheth to his rightful place and putting Tziva in his place. And we'll see again why this is so important later. And so he tells him, I'm making sure that you are the owner. And not only that, you will be part of the royal household. I can't believe that you should turn to me. Who am I? And of course, he paraphrases here David's own words to Shaul. Na'ar Shaul. So he calls in Tziva, who was the Eved of Shaul, Vayomer Elav. It's putting him in his place. Basically, the whole idea here is to put him in his place. So he puts him in his place and says, let's make it very clear. We understand who your master is. And that's a master. Okay, this goes to your master. And you are going to be working for him, okay? Not how it's been until now. You're going to work the field. You, your children, and this whole household of multiple servants that you've got, that you now think you're the owner around here, you are a servant, and remember that. You're not the one who's going to be providing for him. You're going to be working for him. And mipiboshet ben adonech, look, that's for his family, okay? Mipiboshet himself, yochal tamid lechem al shulchani. He's going to be eating with me. This guy's already built himself a little malucha of his own. He's got 15 sons, 20 slaves. Vayomer tziva el ha-melech. Absolutely. Anything you say. But of course, none of this is necessary. I mean, as you know, look at this ugliness. Mipiboshet eats at my table, at the servant's table. Mipiboshet eats at my table the way he would eat as a prince. This is so outrageous that some indeed want to say that this is a repetition of David, of what he said before, which is so illogical. So that after Tziva says, okay, so that's what I will do. So then David reasserts, okay, and that's what I will do. Whereas in reality, the entire tone of the parrot is to show that this is a face-off between Tziva and David, who's taking the side of Mephibosheth, and trying to put Tziva back into his place, which is very important for understanding the later face-off again after the merit of Avshalom, which brings about the breakdown of the Malchus. Well, the Mephibosheth, Ben Katan, Ushmo Micha. This is very strange, because we never hear about this again. It's almost like an aside. And there was a son, a small son, by the name of Micha. V'chomoshav beit tziva avadim l'mephibosheth. So that in reality, this entire thing of the 15 sons and the 20 servants and the 400 secretaries and the 16 phone lines and the stable full of cars and so on and so forth, in the end, it was for a young boy named Micha while Mephibosheth was eating at the table of David, which is strange, because Mephibosheth yosheb Yerushalayim, ki al shulchan ha-melech tamidu ochel, v'lu piseach shtei raglav. Why re-mention all of this? The whole thing is a very strange parak that seems to go nowhere. Now, we will see, again, that what happens really in Divrei HaYamim is that this Micha rebuilds Beit Shaul. And he turns out to be very different than his father, Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth has created a vision of himself as being a dependent cripple. He uses that vision later when David complains that he never was loyal to David. And the Gemara says that David sees the way that he acts, that he's not loyal. He's created a life of psychological dependency. And therefore, we repeat over here, he's sitting in Yerushalayim, Kal Shulchan HaMelech Tamid Ochel, where you would expect that he would be responsive to the Tzrochim of David. And David later on asks him, you're the only one who didn't choose to throw his lot in with me. Why was that when I left Yerushalayim, running away from Avshalom? Why was that? Oh, says Mephibosheth, you know that I'm crippled, and my Ebed took away the Chamor. I mean, that is, pardon me, the lamest excuse. No, that's probably the Makor, really, for that expression. It's a lame excuse. Because I'm lame, therefore, my whole life is defined by my kingdom for a horse. Come on. But Lamaisa, it's this interaction between Tziva and what David should suspect about Tziva, and Mephibosheth and what David does suspect about Mephibosheth, as we'll see. That becomes very important. So that Mephibosheth's yeshiva b'Yerushalayim is contrasted here with Pisach b'Shtei Raglav. Those are opposites in a way. If he's going to be in Yerushalayim, forget about being Pisach b'Shtei Raglav. There's lots of people who are Pisach b'Shtei Raglav. There's lots of Nobel Prize winners that are Pisach b'Shtei Raglav. Why is that the issue? So that what we have over here is an introduction of a chesed that David attempts to do, and that turns out to be a vicious boomerang, and this is exactly what happens in the next parak, not coincidentally, attempting to do chesed, another vicious boomerang. So things are not going right for David's undefined chasadim, and we'll see how Chazal see this as a pattern of things that he does in being the nice guy, that causes him immense heartache every single time he does it.